Jason Wilde is brought to you by Boucher Automotive, where we ride with you every mile. 18 dealerships, 15 brands, and thousands of vehicles in stock. Check them out at Boucher.com.
Yeah, and if Tony Smith buys a car from Boucher, then everybody will have a car from Boucher. I have a new Toyota minivan Sienna. I don't know what the latest of Jason Wilde, but I ask him, you should get Packer information from Jason Wilde every day of the year. We do our part, 94.5 ESPN. Good afternoon, Jason.
How many miles are on that minivan? What'd you pay?
I'm not going to tell people what I paid, but I know I got a great deal. I just said, Michael, give me a deal. I said, okay, here's what it is. Turned in a Honda SUV. This one has 110. I don't really know what to do. I was asking for some consultation, and he said, why? And I go, I've never had a car with so few miles. I get them at 170. The all-time great is our current Acura, which is at 289,000. Really hoping the family. We've never gone 300,000. So I'll let you know. You ever made 300,000?
No, so do you have some sort of secret that I can keep on?
Yeah.
2007 Lexus SUV with 191,000 miles that needs all the shocks replaced?
Yeah. I would tell you, do whatever needs to be. That Lexus will last you 300,000 miles. People that buy Lexus are people richer than those that buy Toyotas, and so they tend to change and like new cars. But that's like the Acura, which is a Honda Lexus, basically. I got it at 260, just checking that theory, and sweet! That Lexus, I might buy that Lexus from you. What kind of Lexus is it?
It's a bigger SUV.
Don't need that.
Right, but you're out. Right.
No, but that's the problem. I would tell people that buy a Lexus, though you might not want that Lexus, if you do the normal repair, because, again, you're going to need less repair than normal because it's a Toyota or a Honda, and you got 300,000 there. But I don't think you'll go there.
They're telling me, well, no, I would keep it forever. I love it.
Yeah. Why not?
But do I put $4,000 into the shop?
Yep. All right. And so you're at what now? Well, you're at what now? How many? How many miles you got? We lost Jason, I thought.
Go
ahead. Now you're at how many miles?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. We kind of lost you in and out. I thought maybe it was because of our mileage discussion.
No,
that's even worse. We need Jason to hang up, and then he can call back. Because I really do want to get into Packer stuff as well. But yeah, no, I don't know what the amount would be in terms of if there was something that you need. I guess if you had to replace the engine, that would be a different thing. But the other stuff, that or an exhaust. Yeah, he's putting in $4,000. He's got another 100,000 miles and a great car. You pay $4,000. Maybe you put another two or three in. You're driving a great car, and it's costing you $7,000 for another 100,000 miles. I think that's the deal. Anybody else need any car advice? Be happy to do it. 1-800-990-3776. We'll talk and get back with Jason Wilde. I want to hear from about Christian Watson was a guest on Rich Eisen. Jason's back. Jason, you back?
Yeah, apparently the reception in the greater Wausau Metroplex isn't very good.
Yeah, you never know in the area. So, all right, how many miles you got on that car?
191.5.
All right, I think you go to four in. I would say would you be willing to put $6,000 in for another 100,000 miles? My answer would be yes.
I would be, but right. I guess I'm worried that something else will go wrong if I put 4,000 in now.
You might have to check. Maybe we can get someone to email you to give you information on people that have purchased and run their Lexus that long. All right, let's get to the Packers. We had this question for you that I said I would ask. It has to do with the Packers and the Packers that
Christian Watson?
there. No, we're going to get to that. But it was the Packers of, like, if they would be much better if they had a if they had an owner. Hold on just a second. I'm going to get to it. You threw me off of the mouse. I'll ask Jason. And then I said, Twitter. I'll ask Jason. And then everybody who's Jason said, oh, you need to talk to me. The Packers having a real owner would lead to either the franchise immediately leaving or being mired in mediocrity forever. I prefer the public ownership. How are you on the impact, one way or the other, on the ownership of the Packers?
Yeah, it's always been an interesting hypothetical because I think this has also been something that's been discussed a lot when things have gone poorly in the postseason, right? Like when they lost that NFC Championship game in Seattle, I know Bill Barnwell and others argued that if the team had an owner, the owner would have fired Mike McCarthy. Because owners don't handle being that close to the Super Bowl and then choking. Like some are telling you Marquette did, by the way, in the tournament, I noticed on Twitter.
Yeah, we have that debate. And I want to thank the people on Twitter because we're going to determine what a choke is. Because I think the thing you have to use for a choke is point spread. Because those are the professionals. How many points does it have to be a choke? And not only in basketball, but football. So we'll get to that, but that's not really an
area.
So
wait, so then the Packers losing in Seattle then would not be a choke because they weren't even favored in that game?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's right. They may have blown it.
They may have something to do with what happened in the game.
No, they may have blown it. They may have blown the game, but
they didn't choke. They blew it.
Right, because to choke means that you're way better and you lose. I mean, they just. Yeah, that's the worst thing you can say.
Is that what choking means?
What? I don't
know. That's not what choking means.
Well, I mean, we're starting this process. What does choke mean to you?
You snatched defeat from the jaws of victory is what choking means to me.
So you look like at the end of the game.
You have to get, like I'll give you, now, I don't know what the point spread was, so this is going to help your argument, but like when Kehi Clark turns the ball over with 2 seconds left, or with 12 seconds left for Virginia, and then the Paladins hit a three, Furman. They choked. They had the game in hand, and they choked it away.
Okay.
Like that's choking. It doesn't matter that they were the favorite. Like that's a bonus to the choking. But
well, if you're the underdog and you're that close, you weren't supposed to win anyway. Right?
Correct, but once you're in a, I know that they do this now where it's like winning, the likelihood of winning, right?
Yes.
Different percentages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's based on what's happening in the game at that moment. So if you're like the Packers, I don't know what the.
Yeah, that might be another way to do it. We'll explore that as well. There needs to be some objective. Yeah, well, no, there needs to be some objective determination of what a choke is, and that could be it. If at some point in the game you're a 99% favorite to win and you lose, then that may be a choke. But my answer is when you're the underdog and you're ahead, you shouldn't have been ahead in the first place. So then to blow it at the end is not as surprising as when you're the much better team. That has to be factored.
Yeah, I think
in.
He's still choked.
All right, okay.
I mean, the 2014 Packers definitely choked.
All right, they choked that game.
No, that game for sure. All right, so anyway, my point was going to be that if you have an owner, owners, generally speaking, are more likely to be impulsive and make changes. Not necessarily the right decision, but most likely the decision that an impulsive owner, like, you know, for example, Joe Thomas, who was our cousin sub today for Tausch, you know, he talked about Jimmy Haslam and how, at least early in his tenure as the Browns owner, I personally am not a Jimmy Haslam fan, but he was impulsive, like a fan would be. And I think owners have a tendency to do that, right? Like, what I find strange is someone like Jerry Jones, who feels like the type of guy who would be impulsive. Like, how long was Jason Garrett their coach?
Let me explain him, because this is very simple. No, Jerry Jones wanted to win. Once he joined the club and got his rings, he's in the club and no longer cares about winning as much as he cares about making money or whatever the interests are. So he's been totally different as an owner after they won the championship. He doesn't care. He didn't care anymore.
Okay, maybe. But now that the drought is...
Doesn't matter.
30-ish years.
Doesn't matter for him. Doesn't matter.
He's changed, and you're almost, you're getting old. And
no.
What was that you used to do with Otsi when he would come on the show, and you'd say, well, we look forward to having you on again if you're not dead, or whatever you used to say?
Yeah, and you convinced me not to do that, so
Gomer Radio.
Yeah. Old people radio. Yeah, people. But no, he's not the same guy. He's nice. He's nice to Garrett. He's nice to his quarterback. He's just not the same guy. He doesn't. He knows it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter. He's in.
Didn't fire Mike McCarthy.
No. He's the I think, so, as far as an owner, he's probably
to answer
the nicest.
That person's question.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's okay. To answer that person's question, I think there would obviously be pros and cons to that deep-pocketed owner. One, on the flip side, might be that he would have pressured Ted Thompson and said, hey, I'm the one writing the checks. Sign more free agents. That doesn't mean it would have been the right thing.
And or might not have let him draft Aaron Rodgers. He could have been in the draft thing. No, you're not picking him.
Correct. So, there'd be pros and cons. And I would say this, for all our debate about the Aaron Rodgers impending trade to the Jets, whenever that happens, one of the reasons why I would argue Goody is holding out for now is because part of his calculus is that he believes that with an owner who is desperate to win and desperate to have Aaron Rodgers as his team's quarterback, I'm guessing Goody believes that at some point the impulsive, impetuous owner will say, just give him the 13th pick. We want Rodgers. We got to get him. I don't want to wait any longer. Do it, even though you don't think, Joe Douglas, this is a good idea. So I think that's probably part of the arithmetic that Goody is doing in his head in terms of making that trade. Is I'm going to keep waiting, because sooner or later, Woody Johnson's going to say, I don't want to risk losing him. You know, it's like overbidding on something on eBay because you really want it. I don't tend to do that, but I've probably had that happen once or twice, and so could an owner like Woody Johnson, who is desperate to have Aaron Rodgers as a sport.
And see, and I don't think he's desperate. I'd overpay now. I'm trying to win a damn Super Bowl. Yes, I'll overpay a little bit. By the way, I wanted to ask you, and I think it's accurate, that these stories, I believe, are true about Goody asking for that, because I think they're all coming from the Jets.
I agree.
There's no doubt that he is, in fact, demanding a first-round pick. I buy that 110%. I don't know if that has to be this year or next year, but he wants a number one, right? You buy that as well.
Absolutely, and I think he wants it this year. Okay. I don't think it's I'll take a 2025 number one. I think he wants the 13th pick. I think he feels like having the 13th and the 15th picks give him lots of options, including if he really wanted to go up and get someone that he really liked. So, yes, there's no doubt in my mind that that's what he wants to do.
Because he knows everybody's going quarterback, and it means that this year there's likely to be a player at 13 way better than should be because of all the quarterbacks that will be taken before 13.
Well, I mean, I would counter that by saying that it's not just this year. I mean, there has clearly been a shift in the NFL, which I don't want to say it's like the NBA, but you think about some of the picks that are made in the NBA first round now that are very projection-y, right? They're this guy could be really good. The picks of quarterbacks now are kind of like picking underclassmen or, Marjon Beauchamp is a great example, right? Like, the Bucs picked him based certainly not on what he accomplished in college. He didn't even play in college. He played in the G League. But they just thought the world of his potential, right? And I think that's what teams are doing with quarterbacks now, because if you get it right, great. And if you get it wrong, then you'll just have to figure out how you're going to try it with the next one.
Talking with Jay Suwoldy, we'll work on chokes and who blew it and Christian Watson, but not today because Al McGuire's coming on soon. I bet you thought he was dead. Nope. Thanks, Jason.
All right, Homer. Take care. Be good.
Yeah. I don't have an old people show, but I'm bringing back dead people. Not next, but soon.